re interest of Thomas P. and in re interest of Robert P. You may, Mr. Harvoy. Good morning to you. You may.
Robert Harvoy, I represent the appellant, the father, in this case, Mr. This is an appeal from the county court acting as a juvenile court, and the actual hearing or review hearing that was done, Department of HHS recommended a dismissal of the case, and there's a hearing about that, whether the case should be dismissed or ongoing. But eventually the court did an order out of that review hearing requiring patients. And in that case, the evidence was such that the kids were basically healthy at that time, had no health problems, that the immunization ordered to be looked at and done were not mandated by statute. There's no immediate health risk. There's no evidence that the guardian school was required by the school statute. And essentially, there was little or no record supporting order of immunizations. In the case where, the father did testify about his objections to immunizations. I think it's important, and why the father believes this appeal is important, that he does have a religious objection to immunization. And in this case, if kids were back in his custody and starting school, he would do the affidavit, not, basically opposing immunizations and what the problem would be required under the statute for kids.
So are you making a First Amendment argument?
I think it was done on the father's, that is his belief on religious, and if the kids were back in his custody, it wouldn't have been, it wouldn't be required under the school statute. Now they were in the custody of the department. Was ordered to do it, but it is a case where, at the hearing, the department made no recommendations to that effect of having immunizations done. Guardian ad litem did not address it either in his, and there was little or no record to support the court's order of immunizations. And, that is the situation before us. Unless there's other questions, I would just submit it on the record.
Your assignment only goes to the immunizations. You are not challenging the county court's continued keeping the case alive and not accepting DHHS's recommendation to return the children.
I believe that was by Mr. Snyder. I got in after the fact later, but that is, I think, challenging.
Thank you. Could you comment on Section 43-288, sub 2, which would seem to give the juvenile court judge fairly broad powers about medical care?
I don't have a problem with it. I think the court has the ability to order immunizations. I think there needs to be some record to support that order under the broad powers. In this case, I'm not even sure the parties were aware that this was an issue going into the hearing that wasn't supported or recommended by the department.
It was recommended by CASA?
There was a line by CASA. Again, the kids were happy and healthy. I think the father's testimony that sort of rebuts that as far as the testimony was, he's not in favor of immunization. I understand there was Costa ended up putting a piece of paper that had that in there, but I don't think that supports it on the record.
I don't understand whether the children were happy and healthy, how that relates to immunizations. We don't immunize children when they're unhealthy or because they're unhappy. I don't understand the connection. Can you help me? There's no dispute that these children had not were not current on their immunizations, correct?
I think at the time nobody was aware if they were or were not. But
so did the court order that be looked into?
The court ordered that immunizations occur, is my understanding. And I think it's a case where, I mean, there's no medical harm or necessary need to have these children immunized right away. And again, even the statute on immunization, you know, if there is required to start school, if that is the case, then the father would clearly sign an affidavit with, under that statute saying, hey, it's a personal health belief that they're in his custody not to do immunizations.
Was there any objection at the time to looking into the immunizations or making payments?
I think it was done in the court's order at the end, so.
Was there any request to reconsider it?
Not to my knowledge.
Is the issue even preserved for appeal?
I think they have the right to appeal a final order. I don't think you have to do a trial or any of that before. So I think it is on that basis.
Thank you very much. Mr. Pierce, good morning to you.
Good morning. And please, the court. My name is Phil Pierce, County Attorney in Garden County. Here again with the Bejetta case. First of all, I wanted to point out to the court here that the children were immunized. They were removed from the home on December 16, 2016. At the hearing, on the dispositional hearing, Mr. Bejetta said that one of the children had been immunized, and he was correct, even though the state was not, or the department was not able to find that. She had been at her first set of immunizations, and then that ceased, and no information was given to the department after that, and a decision was made to remove the children from the home. And after that, a fourth child was born, and that child has also been removed, and the immunizations are up to date on that.
Of the children have currently been immunized?
What's that?
All of the children have currently been...
Their immunizations are up to date. I don't know if there's a full set of immunizations. We were just told that they were up to date.
So that's not in our record, right?
No.
What would it do to the case?
Well, I think the issue of the case, when I looked at it, was the issue of separation of powers. In other words, the court had the order to go over to do something different than what the department had recommended. That's the way I looked at the case. As far as the immunizations, that's moot. It's clearly been done. But if we get back to the separation of powers...
If it's moot, given that your opposing counsel has already conceded they are not challenging the court retaining jurisdiction, only challenging the immunizations, if it's moot, why aren't we done?
I can be real quick. But if the issue is, again, the separation of powers, I think we need to look at the fact that the department actually came in here and did recommend closing this case. And the reason that they did that was because they could not get any cooperation from the parent, Mr. Bejetta, specifically. And so there was nothing they could do if you wouldn't cooperate. Well, that seems to go backwards, if you look at the transcript, it clearly says the court was questioning the department on that, state questioned the department, and then they did agree that this case should not be closed. Immunizations, one of the issues that comes up with the immunizations, and Mr. Harboy wasn't aware of this thing. We've had a plethora of attorneys involved in this case right now. I think there's five or six. But at the adjudication of this matter, there was a medical professional from Denver Children's Hospital, and a substantial amount of time was spent on immunizations, on whether or not it was proper. There was a challenge from Mr. Snyder, the parent's family, on whether that was something or not due, whether it was something done due some other religion. That was all brought up in the adjudication. It was not brought up in the disposition, and I'm questioning whether I should have put that transcript in this so that the court could see the amount of time that was spent on that particular issue. The medical professional said, stated that from her experience with American Medical, that medicine, that it would be proper and expected and recommended that immunizations take place with children. And that's where the judge got it. He didn't pull this out of the air. It wasn't necessarily something possible or the department or anyone else.
From the standpoint of notice, there was some...
Oh, absolutely.
Some information prior to the hearing that this would or could be discussed or determined.
Yeah, when we got the case plan and court report from the department, everybody was kind of like, wait a minute, you're wanting to dismiss this thing? And really, there wasn't a large focus on it because they didn't recommend anything, basically. So the court was, I'm not going to say stuck, but had the ability, in my opinion, to go back to the adjudication and look at the evidence there that it was presented, and one of them clearly was immunizations.
You said earlier that the immunizations were currently up to date. Does that mean that further immunizations may be possible during the continued existence of the states having custody?
I believe so.
So it's not moved in that sense.
That's correct.
All right.
Anything else? And I do want to point out that this is a very difficult case for Mr. Harvoy to step into this. He's only been in it a month after Mr. Edwards' death. Mr. Edwards was new to it after Mr. Snyder had to withdraw because of conflict. So it's a moving case, and it's a difficult one for the defense attorney. And at this point, because of the psychological evaluation, Veronica, the mother, was determined that a guardian ad litem would be appointed for her, and the guardian ad litem requested a separate attorney appointed for the mother. So we have two additional attorneys since this appeal will be filed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have time for rebuttal? We have 4 minutes. Mr. Harvoy.
Unless the court has other questions, I don't really, I think the only issue that was brought up is this move to implementation where the children are still out of home, up to date, but they still are ongoing, so I don't think that issue is there.
This is not in the record, but that's your understanding? That the children's immunizations are up to date, but perhaps they're the kind where there are a series and therefore there would be further immunizations.
That would be my understanding. I don't even think it's on the record that they're up to date.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day is Bernard versus McDowell, LLC.